So we actually have communion today. Every time we take communion, we're making a declaration. We are declaring that we recognize and acknowledge that Jesus' death and resurrection have already accomplished what they've already accomplished for us. We're declaring that we are already justified before God.
Yes.
That's a bold statement. We are already justified before God. That we are, it is the grace of God that makes us right before God, that we are adopted, and not just adopted, but accepted.
Yes.
Amen.
It's one thing to be chosen, to be adopted. It's another whole thing to be accepted. Because I know of people who have been adopted into families that weren't accepting. They adopted the child for certain reasons, maybe monetary, maybe to fill a void in their lives. And there wasn't acceptance there. But God has adopted us, and he's accepted us. So as we talked about a little bit earlier, grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor. It's someone doing a favor for you. It's also God doing for you what you can't do for yourself,
yes.
Which is huge. Made right. He has made us right before him. That's actual righteousness. Our pastor used to give us this visual that he would intertwine his fingers. So when you're, it's not just that you're right standing with God next to him, you are entwined with him. And so it is God, it is the grace of God that makes us right. It is the grace of God, not anything we can do except accept him, that entwines our lives with him, entwines our hearts with him.
Amen.
So it is the grace of God that makes us right before God. We are adopted and accepted. Adopted is simply that legal aspect of becoming a son or daughter to someone other than your biological parents. But accepted is regarded favorably or given approval. So not only did he reach out when we accepted Jesus and he said, you bet, you're mine. I created you, but I needed you to choose me so that you could be mine. And then he gave us approval. And we've talked about this before where, you know, we see gangs, we see all these things happening because really people are looking for approval.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a place to be accepted. And as we grow, like I said earlier, you know, with the blessings of seeing our loved ones in heaven, with the blessings of having the open portal to heaven, with the blessings of the great cloud of witnesses and Jesus ever interceding on our behalf comes a great responsibility. And so we want to be able to be positioned in this community specifically, but also extended past this community to be a blessing and show acceptance to people. And oftentimes when we don't think they're acting acceptable. And one of the things I always remember is, you know what, without Jesus, that was probably going to be me. Bad attitude, foul language, whatever, lying, cheating, stealing, out there doing whatever. But Jesus showed himself to me. And it's interesting in that, because you said earlier, you know, I don't know why I'm there. And obviously the Lord is revealing that. Part of it's just to bless you. Part of it is to show these individuals who really in the world have everything. They're coming in for their sixth Rolex or whatever it is. But they're not coming in with joy. They're not coming in with happiness. They're not coming in with the light of Jesus. They're not coming in with something you have that they can never buy.
Yeah.
Same with your coworkers. We cannot buy the things Jesus gives us. And, you know, there's this so much finance that flows through just that little building. But it can't buy one of those people joy or happiness or fulfillment or health or anything. So you're taking in the light of the world. You're being the salt of the earth in a place that really is filled with all these brilliant, dazzling things. But without you there, maybe completely filled with darkness. You may be the only light in that place. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So it's a bold statement to say that we all, I personally recognize and acknowledge and accept that I'm justified before God, but it's true. And here's the thing that I thought was so exciting. So on the 8 o'clock prayer call, they now take communion almost every morning. Not like Sundays, they usually don't because they're trying to get us off to church. But they take communion. And one morning, and it might have been yesterday, I realized that as I was taking communion, whether we take it publicly here or privately, the entire universe knows we are acknowledging what Jesus has done through his death and through his resurrection. And you can bet the devil doesn't like it.
Yeah, he trembles.
He trembles. And the whole universe, really, this is what they're hearing you say. Lord, you supply what makes me right before you. I can't be right before you. You actually supply what I need to be right before you. My performance is not what makes me right before you. The body and the blood of Jesus makes me right with you.
Yes.
I am perfect to you because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And of course, that brought to remembrance my mom. You get a lot of my family stories. My mom used to tell us all the time that we were perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You're perfect. You are perfect. You are perfect. You are perfect. Because you are my child, you're perfect. Yeah, she would tell us that all the time. And that didn't mean that she believed we would never do anything wrong, because she watched us do things wrong. It meant that the mistakes that she viewed us doing didn't change how she felt about us.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't change that she loved us. Didn't change that we were valuable. It didn't change any of that. Now, she would have preferred that we didn't make mistakes or actually choose to do wrong, because that's usually the case in my case. We as adults, we don't say no to you when you ask us for something because we just don't want you to have fun. Have you heard me say that before? We don't do that. We say no to certain things we know are going to turn out bad for you because we've already done it.
Amen.
Remember how I say at 61 years old, I can see a little bit further than you can see? Doesn't mean I'm smarter than you. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means I've lived a little bit longer, so I'm a taller in age, and I can see a little bit farther. And I know where something is going. So if I say no to you, or if mom and dad say no to you, or grandma and grandpa say no to you, it isn't because they don't want you to have fun. It's they don't want you to feel the fear and pain and disappointment.
Amen.
Right.
That many of us look back and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had just listened to my parents. I wish that prior, because I've been married twice, so pastor was my God marriage, and my other marriage was not my God marriage. It was my choice as a young person. About 7 years after I went through a divorce, I realized that I used that man to get out of my hometown. So I had to go before the Lord and repent of that, because in my own mind and with my own experience, I couldn't figure out how to get out of my own hometown, and I wanted out. And so this young man came along. He was cute. We were attracted to each other. I thought that's what marriage was all about. We got married. It hurt him. It hurt his family. It hurt my family. And it hurt our friends. My point is this. If I had just, and my parents had come to me and said, please don't do this. Just please don't do this. And we didn't have the wisdom of God. We weren't Christians at the time. We didn't know to ask Holy Spirit. I certainly didn't know. And I actually did end up writing my parents a letter. My dad did not come to that wedding. And I appreciate that he didn't. And my mom didn't come either, because she said, you know, if your dad's not coming, I'm not coming. I said, I get it. I get it. You'd think by then I would have known I needed to honor my parents. Sometimes we just don't know. So I wish I had listened to them. So my mom always told us we were perfect. Even in that, she declared I was perfect. It didn't change her way of loving me. It didn't change the way she thought about me. She cried a lot. A lot. She cried. My dad even cried. I don't know if it was a lot, but he did. My brothers and sisters cried. It wasn't a good situation. But I had it in my mind. I didn't even realize it at the time. I just wanted out of my hometown, and he was it. Our father is the same as my mom. He's a parent, and he loves his children, and that's you. And to him, through the blood of Jesus, you're perfect. Does that mean you're never going to make any mistakes? No. It doesn't. But it doesn't change how he feels about you. And through the blood of Jesus, because he looks at us through the blood of Jesus. That's part of why Jesus is always interceding on our behalf. That's, the biggest part of why Jesus came and walked as a man. So he could say to the Father, oh, Father, yeah, she's about to marry this guy. Yep. Her parents asked her not to. Yep. Her mom's crying again. Yep. But Father, I know what that feels like. So I'm going to intercede for her. And we're going to turn this thing around because we see her end from her beginning. We see her where she's supposed to be. And I'm going to keep praying for her. And Holy Spirit's going to intercede for her. And that's what we have to remember. That through the blood of Jesus, you are perfect. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing right now, if you're doing something, please stop it. Please stop it. Put it under the blood. Ask the Lord to forgive you. When we take communion today, we have to remember that communion, the word communion, we throw this word out there, and communion is actually such an intimate, it's just an intimate relationship. Everything about the Lord is to put your hand on your cheek. Everything about the Lord is hand on cheek. I love you. You're precious to me. Hand in hand, we're walking together. In Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all children of God. In this case, God through this entire scripture is Theos, the supreme divinity. Through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ Jesus in baptism have put on the character of Christ Jesus, like putting on new clothes. Pastor used to think of it, he would say when they would, how do they say that, muck the barn in North Dakota, and he said when you come out of that barn, you looked like it, you smelled like it, and you wanted to change your clothes, take a shower and change your clothes. And that's what communion does. We're coming today, whenever the last time you took communion was, that was precious, and that was purifying, and that was healing. And then life happened between that morning, like yesterday morning when I took it, and right now when I'm going to be taking it. Life happened. I got mucked up again. I was in the dirty barn. And so now I come before him again. I'm going to change my clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ Jesus, you are true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Say, that's me.
That's me.
So it would be wise for you to figure out what Abraham's promise is, because it's awesome. Verse 4. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. Even though they actually own everything, that's you and me, own everything through Jesus Christ, they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age the father set. So now we're in chapter 4, verse 3. And that's the way it is with us before Jesus Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of the world. We just said, well, c'est la vie, that's life. Whatever will be, will be. It is what it is. I have a friend who always says, it is what it is. And I say, actually, you could change that.
That's right.
You could change that. So that's the way it was before Jesus Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of the world, which are the devil's principles. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. He sent him to buy freedom for us. He sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. We couldn't be adopted before that. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts and prompted us to call out. There we go again. God gave us the prompt to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir.
Amen.
Whew.
Amen.
When we start realizing, pastors taught us that for years, but we really need to start realizing what that means. We are an heir. If Gabby is a multimillionaire, owns 15 companies, has her own private jets, whenever I come visit her, she just sends a jet for me. And now she puts me in her will. And I know what her bank account looks like because she shared it with me. I know what her closet looks like. I know what her homes look like. I know what her vehicles look like. And she says to me, I have all of this, and I'd like to give you a certain gift, so you pick out what it is you want. Now, it's a little bit different with the Lord, okay? He gives you your gift. He gives you your gift. The Holy Spirit gives you your gift. But when it comes to prayer, asking, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. So she opens up her portfolio to me, and she says, which plane do you want? Which car do you want? What clothes do you want? And she asked me all these things. What do you want? What home do you want? And I say, in the name of Jesus, I ask for this, this, and this. And she just signs on the dotted line. I am now an heir to her. And all that she has and all that she does and all that she is still pales to our Father. Now when he brings me in and he says, okay, now you are an heir to me, his portfolio is endless. His portfolio is the universe. His portfolio is hers doesn't include healing. Hers doesn't include all the soft blessings that we talk about. They're hard blessings, cars, planes, things like that. But then there's soft blessings that no one else can provide but the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 7 says, so now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Before you knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods. Boy, we see that do not even exist. Verse 9, so now that you know God, or should I say now that he knows you because you called back, why would you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of the world? And that's the question. So when you take communion today, think about that. As you're coming up to receive it, think about that. Why would I, when I have all this before me, God's portfolio, everything that God has, and he gave his only son for me, and he couldn't be killed. He had to give up his life for me. Why would I want to go back to what the world has to offer?
Amen.
When we hear about visits to heaven and the colors and the flowers singing and the grass bouncing back after you step on it and people just thinking, well, let's go visit Michelle. Boom, they're there. So many things. Why would we want to settle for this? Because right now, today, we are supposed to have days of heaven on this earth, which means all of those things. That's not a metaphor or whatever the right word is, that's real. When he says you are supposed to have days of heaven on this earth now, it's literal, that's literal. All the joy, no more tears of sorrow, walking hand in hand with Jesus. One of the things Pastor was pressing in for, and I continue to, is we hear stories of people who had been, their countries, when the Soviet wall was still up, it was still the Soviet bloc, and this man would minister outside the Soviet bloc. The government couldn't figure out how he got there. The Lord would translate him at night. He would get up, he'd put his suit on, he'd hold his Bible, and he would just pace and pray in the Spirit. And suddenly, literally, physically, his body, his Bible, in his suit, would be in a home church or somewhere where it was illegal to preach the gospel. They knew he was coming. The Lord had shared it with them. He would minister, and then when he was done and no longer needed, the Lord would ploop him back home. I don't know where I get ploop. Ploop, that's not a really good word. Would transport him back home. And the government would hear about how this man, by this name, was seen countries away. Countries away. And they're like, we got to put more guards on him. You can put all the guards you want on him. Holy Spirit is taking him away you cannot see. And that's what Pastor was pressing in for, with anticipation that the things we're seeing happening on the earth right now would happen. And so that's something I'm continuing to, you know, if the Lord wants me to go to Africa, that's the way I want to go.
Instantly.
Instantly. Teleport. There you go. That's the way I want to go. Wyatt and Gabby, if you'd please come up. So please, as you're coming forward, and go ahead, they're ready for you. As you're coming forward, think about that. This is the meal of healing. This is the meal of communion with God. This is the meal that is so personal and intimate that why would you want to put up and settle? Why would you want that? Like Pastor always told us, why would I go halfway? Why would I give up booze and cigarettes and pornography and any other thing that someone might give up? And not completely put myself on the altar and let the Lord examine me and do surgery and pluck out what he needs to pluck out and tell me what he needs to tell me. Why would I not? Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Just thank him. Thank you for the body, Father. Thank you for the blood. Jesus, thank you for saying yes. Thank you for ever interceding on our behalf. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you. 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 Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that we have young people in this church who are willing to participate, Father. Yes. I thank you for their softened hearts that are willing to serve under your direction. Thank you, Lord. I just ask you to bless them. Yes. Not only the two that serve today, but bless all of our children. Yes. Bless them, Lord. Empower them to prosper. Give them wisdom. Give them understanding. Yes. Give them knowledge. Let them be the shining lights wherever they go. Thank you, Lord. Does it mean they ever always have to do everything right? No. But through the blood of Jesus, they're perfect in your eyes. Yes. And may your relationship with them draw them through a joyful life.
Yes.
A joyful, fun, full of laughter and productive life. Yes. In Jesus' name. May I don't know about anybody else, but may they not make the mistakes I have made. In Jesus' name. And Father, we lift up the body, the cracker that represents the body of Jesus. And we thank you that this is an absolute exchange. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus gave his body for our body. So our body would never be broken. Our body doesn't have to be sick. Our body doesn't have to be weak. Our body doesn't have to age and wear out. Our body doesn't have to do any of the things that this that the principles of the world say it has to do. By taking this cracker, we are being, just like when we give the tithe, our finances are transferred from the kingdom in darkness to the your jurisdiction, the kingdom of light. And that's what happens with this. Our bodies are actually transferred to the kingdom that's in darkness to the kingdom of God. We put our bodies in your jurisdiction. We put our bodies in your position and in your possession to be renewed and regenerated and our youth renewed like that of the eagle. We do this by now breaking the cracker and taking of it as a perfect exchange. Jesus' body for our body. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we lift this cup to you. And I want you to say this after me, please. Lord,
you supply
what makes me right
before you.
My performance is not
what
makes me right before you. The body and blood of Jesus Christ makes me right with you. I am perfect to you because of this blood of Jesus Christ. I am no longer a slave. But I am God's own child. And since I am his child,
he has made me his heir.
And now that I know, and he knows me,
why would I go back
to become a slave
to the weak
and useless
spiritual
principles
of this world?
I refuse to.
And this is my outward sign
that I believe
and I acknowledge
that I am right with God.
I am adopted.
I am accepted.
And I am in his lineage.
And I am an heir
and a co-heir
with Christ Jesus.
And I cannot be touched
if I don't allow
myself
to be touched.
In Jesus'
name,
we receive your blood, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Holy.
Galatians 4:8, it says, before you Gentiles knew God. So before we knew God, we were slaves to a so-called God that did not even exist. So what we were slaves to is our own minds, our own imaginations, what we have thought about ourselves, what we have been told and accepted about ourselves. We have to take and break that curse to realize who you are and what you are. It's not what you were, it's who you are and what you are. It's who I've created you to be. Don't allow your mind, don't allow Satan to use you, your body, to control you. Stand on faith.
Hallelujah. And that takes us full circle back to the beginning of the year, and the Lord gave me the word perception and discernment. What he just described was perception. It's all about us, what we think about ourselves, our self-talk. And your self-talk talks to you more than anyone else. So what you're saying to yourself, you're going to be. We need that discernment. We need the truth of Almighty God and his word to crush the incorrect perception, the lies of the enemy, the things that we've said to ourselves, the things that other people have said to us. We need the word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.